Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. I say praise His holy name. Say neighbor, I greet you in Jesus' name. I'll thank you for being here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we all happy to be here? Are we all happy to be here? Yeah, we may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Amen. Yes. I believe that there's something that's just about happen in the ministry, a new glory that is coming. Hallelujah. I said there's a new glory that is coming. Listen. God always moves His church from one glory to another. Amen? And I believe that that's why I have to speak to you about what I have to share today. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you know, we are dealing with the principles or laws of financial prosperity. But what's going to happen is that we are left with two, which is the law of saving and the law of growth. So for those two laws, I'm going to get somebody to speak to you. Hallelujah. So it's not going to be me. I'm going to get somebody to teach you that. Hallelujah. And we are going to continue, but not today, on those two. Amen. Are you hearing me? We know things in part. Hallelujah. We prophesy in part. There are things that other people may speak better than us. Amen? Are you hearing me? So we're going to get people to come in and speak to you on those last two, which is the law of what? Saving and what? And what? And growth. Amen? Hallelujah. Do you love Jesus Christ? In business or in finances, saving is a law and growth is a law. Hallelujah. Things grow. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know, for growth to happen, you have to understand how they happen. There must be a seed that is planted into the ground. First of all, before you can expect growth. Amen. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. So we're gonna deal with those later. Today, I'm going to speak about something that I believe that, God is doing something in our lives. Amen. I believe that there is this new grace that has come into the ministry. There's new grace. Angels that we have not seen before that are appearing. You know what I'm praying for? You know what I'm praying for? I'm praying for a time when people will be in your presence and they will know they've been in your presence. Hallelujah. You know, utama limo to fela motari. Hey, when's a galanga? Am I talking to somebody? Standing with somebody here, what's happening to me?
Hey, how do I feel like this?
In other words, you must move with the presence. You must move with what? Can I speak to somebody here? You must move with what? We are tired of people being in our presence and they don't get impacted. We must move from the lukewarm life to a very hot life. Extremely hot life. Are you here? Are you excited about this? Yesterday, somebody was approaching me and this person said, why do I feel hot here? No. Then he said, okay. Yeah, it's hot here. Wait. No. Yeah, it's hot here. It means there was an angel there. Okay. And then this person was approaching me, said, okay, but I feel the same heat here. The one that I felt there. Oh, Jesus. Bazalani, there is a presence. There's a presence. And it's exciting because lukewarm Christianity is boring. It's boring because you are just going on to church and, you know, we're not only talking about money. It's fine. That money is coming. Say, neighbor, money is coming. It's not a problem. You are a millionaire already. You are a millionaire. That's not a problem. But we are talking about certain manifestations that must accompany us. I'm going to share from you from the book of Samuel, and we're going to learn a few things from there. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen? Yesterday, let me tell you what happened, and I believe this was the Lord's plan. I took the intercessors to the mountain. So intercessors had their retreat. Let's clap your hands for intercessors. And I believe that the title of the message, which is the coming of the ark of the Lord, is relevant for this message. The coming of the ark of the Lord. Wow. Listen. We are on the move. Don't stay one place for too long. Wow. You know, one of the teachings that I said with the intercessors, and you'll see in my teaching today, it will come up, is that God said to the children of Israel that when you see the cloud being lifted up from above the tabernacle, know it is time to move. You know, Mazalan, if you don't understand the Old Testament, you understand nothing. Yes. Forget the new. Yes. New is too complex. Yes. That's why we were given some warm-up and introduction and summary and whatever in the old. Pictures, images, so that we can understand what is coming. It means that the move of God is just like that. God will stay one place and then move to another. Move to another. But there are people who refuse and stay in one place when God has moved. There are those who move when God is still there. Akashatarala. Oh, I pray I will do none of those. I will move with God. Are you in the house of God? Am I speaking of somebody here? So the coming of the ark of the Lord, or the return of the ark of the Lord. The return of the ark of the Lord. Amen. From glory to glory. The return of the ark of the Lord from glory to glory. Hallelujah. 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 So I have this belief and sense that God is taking back. You know, I remember One, what has been my prayer for many, many years, even when I started ministry, and I would say to God that I pray, because when things are working, I don't know why they are working. Because I'm doing a myriad of things. I don't know which one is actually working. Oh, can I talk to somebody? And I pray that, Lord, may I never stop doing what works, because I don't know what it is. Are you hearing me? And Lord, whatever is working, please. Amen. And with time, you realize that there are some things that, oh, okay, we have. And one of the things that we stopped doing are the Friday night prayers. Since COVID, it has been difficult to bring them back. But it's going to happen now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whether there are five people or three people, it doesn't matter. As long as there are boots on the ground. You know, God just wants a contact with humanity. You know, why do we look at numbers and we get... Okay, because the Friday service was few people. God was there. Where there are two people, God is there. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
The purpose will happen.
Yes.
He just wants people on the ground. Hello? Look at your neighbor saying, we are coming to night prayers. And this night prayer has been so popular that for many years, everybody knew at the synagogue on Friday night, there's prayer. All over the world, they knew. Well, I can go in any time, there's prayer there. So we are going back there. Look, say neighbor, we are going back there. We are going back there. Hallelujah. I say, I am revived and uplifted in my spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you love Jesus Christ? Say glory to Jesus Christ. So today's message is the return of the Ark of the Lord. Return of the Ark of the Lord. Now, when you read in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 5, before we go there, we see that during the time of Eli, the priest, hallelujah. During the time of who? I cannot hear you. Eli the priest, hallelujah. The Philistines attacked the Israelites. Amen. And when they realized that they were losing, they said, let us bring the ark of the Lord from the house of the Lord. Let it come here from Shiloh. Amen. Let it come here and maybe, say neighbor, maybe our God will fight for us. You see, the ark had a history. Amen. Where the ark has been, there's always been something happening. Amen. So the children of Israel know that when the ark comes, something is going to happen. Hallelujah. Am I speaking to somebody here? So now, the ark came, and as the ark was coming in, there was a lot of shouting and screaming and praising and worship. Everybody was excited because the Lord had come into the house. But God was not in that ark. Are you hearing me? And oftentimes, that's what happens in the church today. We fake the move of God because of traditions. We are so used to God that even when he's not there, we claim he's there. I can feel him in our presence. I can feel the presence of the Lord in this house, even when you feel nothing. I can see God is here. Hallelujah, glory, brother. Ha, shaka, rosi. But hey, Jesus Christ himself is wondering, what is going on in this house? Because I'm not there. That's what is happening. Because of the way things used to happen, people get stuck in the traditions of doing things, even when God is no longer there. Are you hearing me? So they brought this ark into the house of God. And they were surprised that the Philistines, nothing happened. You know, when you bring the ark of the Lord, you hope you'll see Philistines falling. Are you hearing me? Under the presence of, they were sure. They praised, hallelujah. And then they open their eyes and they see the Philistines are still standing. I can see they are shouting and praising, going down and down. Worst thing, the Philistines started approaching the ark. I was like, oh my goodness. No, they won't get within 20 meters. And then they saw they were getting close, even touching it. They said, Ichabod. They say, Ichabod. The presence of the Lord has departed. It's gone. But you see, the clue should have been when they themselves could carry the ark when they were not priests. The writing was already there. When they could easily, you see, there was a process. There was a process. Oh, can I talk to somebody else? And David, you'll see later, he realizes that he had also faltered. He has also committed a mistake. Amen. So yesterday, I was talking to the intercessors, and I said to them, you see, in the Old Testament, we can see the ministry of intercession right there. Right there. And you see how God arranged and organized the Levites. We normally know the Levites, the priests and all that, but there were others. There were others who served other roles. Amen? And some of them were intercessors prophetically, because what they did was, first of all, God placed them around the tabernacle, not inside, around it. So the people who lived next to the tabernacle were the Levites. The others, well, somewhere else, but they were the closest there. Are you hearing me? Am I talking to somebody here? And they all had different roles to play. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Am I talking to somebody here? So the Lord said, when they are about to move, now listen to me. It says, when the cloud is lifted above the tabernacle, know it is the time to move. It's a sign. So the church is given signs. That is time to move. Can I talk to somebody here? When there are signs to move, you know what happens? The priests, they move in. When they see that this, can I talk to somebody here? When they see that the cloud is lifted above the tabernacle, they know it's time to move. Not to preach. What they do, if they go in, they begin to wrap the vessels. You cannot be preaching. You cannot be doing anything else. Now it's time to wrap. So what they do, they go, they wrap the vessels. You know, when you talk about the vessels, you're talking about you, ministers. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, it says, in the house of God, there are many vessels. Vessels of gold, vessels of silver, vessels of bronze, vessels of wood. I pray that you're not the wood. Say, catch fire. So that we see, is this wood or what? Oh, are you in the house of God here? Yeah? Hallelujah. So you wrap the vessels. In other words, it's not time to minister. It's time to bring forward the intercession. You know, the reason some of us, we don't even see when the intercession must move forward and the priest stand back. Okay. You see, when the move of God, let me tell you, there's no revival without intense intercession. Never, forget it. Revival means the move of God. Oh, yeah, Kashata. I'm saying there is no revival without the intense move of God, intense intercession. Can't be. But you see, when the men of God are supposed to wrap the vessels so they can allow others, they think they are everything. And God said, you wrap the vessel. After wrapping the vessel, step back. Then I will bring in the Kohathites. I'll bring in the Kohathites. Those are the people I've anointed to carry the vessels. There's time when the vessels must be carried and not be working. There are times when they must be carried and not be operating. Many of the vessels don't even know when the season comes that they have to be wrapped and not be operating. Oh, chakatarabaha. Jesus Christ. So he says, you, priest, step back. Once when the vessels are wrapped, the Kohathites must come in. Now it's time to move. When we continue speaking, we stay in the same place. The priests must be the first ones to see that the cloud is lifted and know that the work cannot be done when the cloud is lifted. You see, the thing that we think, you know, the intercessory ministry is probably the highest office because it's the one Christ is occupying right now. These are the people we never see, but yet they carry so much power. Am I speaking of somebody here? Oh, Jesus Christ. So when the Kohathites come in, and he says to them, these vessels, because they are wrapped, don't unwrap them. Don't look on the inside. Don't unwrap. Just wrap them. Meaning that in our own weaknesses, we shall be wrapped and we cannot be exposed. Because God uses weak vessels. God does not use perfect people. There are no perfect people here on earth. You shall see many faults in our lives. But if you are an intercessor, you wrap. You keep wrapped. You carry. Knowing that I'm carrying a vessel with its weakness. But I'm not supposed to look on this. Now it says, now listen. It says when the Kohathites have taken the vessels out, who must come in now? The Merarites. Is that Merarites? The Merarites must come in. You know what they're coming to do? They're coming to remove the covering of the tabernacle. They're going to roll away the covering. Over. Huh? Is that the Geshonites or the Merarites? Is that the Geshonites? So the Geshonites will come and do what? And unroll. Isn't it? They unroll the what? Now listen, when the Geshonites unroll, we spoke about the meaning of that, the prophetic significance of that. It's all in intercession. Hallelujah. But here's the thing. When it is unrolled, that's all they need to do. They must just back off. They don't touch the poles. They don't touch the structure. Oh, shikalabaha. They don't touch the structure. They don't have the grace to do that. You see, many of us, we don't know our limits. We don't know where we don't have the grace. We don't know where our grace ends. Hey. We are all over the place. You don't even know that you are a Geshonite. That when you unwrap things, when you unwrap the tabernacle, stay back, because then must come the Merarites that must begin to dismantle the poles. That time there is no work of ministering in the tabernacle. You cannot. It's time to move. In the movement, the intercession takes priority. Show me a prayer at church that does not have intercession. I'll tell you a prayer that is not placed, a church that's not going anywhere. Yes. It is in the same place. Because it's only intercession that will go forward first. If prayer is not first, there cannot be next. Oh, hayakashata. Am I speaking to somebody else? I told you there's another level that is coming in this house. I said there's another level that's coming in this place. It's another level. It's another level. Forget the past. Look forward to the new. Look forward to the new. Are you hearing me? So when the Meroites are done, when the Geshonites are done unfolding and wrapping, and then comes the Meroites, comes the Meroites, and they remove the poles, the structure, what supports the work of God. Ushikalaha. Hallelujah. 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 When the Philistines came into the ark, into the camp. I mean, when the ark came into the camp where the Israelites were fighting the Philistines, nothing happened. Nothing happened. Hallelujah. You see, the reason why there is so much weakness and powerlessness in the church is because the ark is there, but God is not in it. You know, the Philistines do whatever they like. People come in and they go away with their demons, sicknesses, diseases. There is infighting. There is, when the ark of the Lord is in the house, the Philistines will scatter. When God is in the ark, the Philistines will scatter. There is no Philistine that is going to come next to the ark of God. I say there is no Philistine whatsoever that will come next to the ark of God. It's nothing like that. When you see the Philistine come too close, you know, man, we have lost something. Yeah, 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 yeah. Let's go back. When you see spirits enjoying the service, saying hallelujah, glory, you know you are praising somebody else, not the true God. If people come into the service, they remain as they are. God is not there. It's just the ark, the name, and the traditions that he used to be there. He's not there. He's not there. Where sin is like fashionable, no one calls anybody to order. It's fine. It's okay as you are. That's not my God. That's not my God. You cannot survive as a Philistine. No Philistine can survive in your midst when the God is in your presence. No wonder God is not in there, because even we ourselves, the way we handle the things of God, it has been a sign that God is not in it. Now, they took the ark. Amen? They took the ark to their camp. Now, note this. God is not in the ark. They take the ark. They put it in their temple in the Philistine land. They put it in their temple next to Dagon. Now, this is one of my favorite scripture, a portion of scripture, Dagon. Say Dagon. I've never anywhere in the Bible seen God side by side with the enemy like that. I mean, God was, the ark of God was here and the enemy was there. Like sitting, standing like this. Overnight, God said, how are you, Dago? How are you, Dago? So, why did they bring you here? And I could see the Lord stretching his hand over Dago. I say, shut up, Dago. And he fell on his face and broke his head. Let me tell you this. Wherever you are and you are a child of God, there must be no contention. I say, wherever you are, even at work, when you come in, Dagon must fall. I say, any power that reigns wherever you are, when you come up, that Dagon must fall. There is no greater power. I say, there is no greater power. Dagon was ruling until you arrived. Look, God was not in the ark, but just the presence of what belongs to God was enough. Hey. Are you hearing this? He was not in the ark, we know it. But what belongs to God was. Let me tell you this. The time has come that thieves cannot be at liberty to steal what belongs to you and succeed. Listen, when they take what belongs to you into their homes, it must start to cause chaos. Ayakasata labranaya. Am I talking to somebody here? When they take what belongs to a child of God and they put it in their temples, there must be chaos. It's high time they will steal your cell phone and nothing happens. That cell phone must begin to speak things in the house. It must begin to preach in the house. That Dagon that is in that place must peck and go, must fall and break his head. When what belongs to you is taken into the land of the Philistines, it must be known that they took the wrong thing. Oh, shakatulabaha. Am I talking to somebody else? That time is coming and that time is here. Oh, yeah. I told you that there's a new grace, there's a new season that is coming here. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. People cannot do, they must just know that, we brought the wrong thing. You know what they did? They begin to take the altar from one tribe to another. But Luna, batubali mpopo, maybe leta mohona. That was KZN calling. Say, hey, Limpopo, we are in trouble in KZN. Please take this thing. And they took it up to Limpopo. When it gets in Limpopo, there was chaos again. People started getting sick. They were getting cancers. They said, we don't want this thing of yours. Let me tell you, may you be red hot in the hands of the enemy. May you be untouchable. Oh, shakata la bahara baha. Are you hearing me? Oh, time has come for Christians to stop being lukewarm. Not you. What belongs to you is enough to cause chaos in the camp of the enemy. Anything that you have touched with your hand and called it yours, may it never find peace in the land of the Philistine. Hallelujah. Listen, I pray that if there is anything that you ever lost in your life, let it begin to cause chaos. Let it begin to cause chaos. Let it begin to cast chaos wherever it is. This world must know that there is a God of Israel. There's a God in Israel. They must know that there is a God in Israel. They've been going around taking gods of other places the way they wanted, and because they were not gods. Today, they've met a different one. You. They said, now it's enough. There is no other province that is willing. The five of them kept pushing it to another. And they said, there's no other province now willing to host the ark. This thing must go. Hallelujah. They said this. They agreed that this thing must go. May they agree that this thing that belongs to you must go. Oh, Sakatala Braha. I refuse that they will steal anything from me and be comfortable and enjoy it, to use it, and steal your television and enjoy watching your television. It does not happen. It does not happen. as they are watching your TV, they will see mene mene tekel ofarasi. Right on in the middle of a soapy. In the middle of a soapy, mene mene tekel, and with a big finger that says like this. They say, ah, I've never seen anything like that. What is this now? What is this now? They must stand on their feet and say, what is this now? I've never seen anything. Let it go. Because it belongs to somebody who knows God. May your relationship with God translate to everything that you be transferred to everything that you have. May be transferred to everything that you have. Ma'asika talabra. I refuse to live a lukewarm life. I say, I refuse to live a lukewarm life. I refuse to live a lukewarm life. Yeah. Hallelujah. We cannot be complaining with everybody about things that are being stolen. We are Christians. We need no security. Heaven is our security. Heaven is our security. You take anything from heaven, you shall be chased by angels themselves. Oh, shakatala brana. May you and everything you have be red hot. So they say, take this thing. They say, take this thing. Take this thing. Take it to the border. Just look at Africa bordering little lets am I. Say, just to the border. As long as this thing is out. At the border. Please release it. Let it go. As long as he can come. May you find something at your gate. May you find something at your gate that you lost many, many years ago. May it be found and be relocated. Oh, Jesus. What I know is that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did yesterday, he will do today, and he will do it again. He will do it again and again and again and again and again. Ishakata. Oh, yonder. Jesus Christ. You must rise. You must rise and be known as the hot ones. Hot ones. The untouchables. You play nowhere near that. You see, there are people who have claimed God and said they are praying God and nothing happened, and people are undermining your God because of them. May you restore the image of God. I say, may you restore the image of God. May you restore. May you carry something in your life. Oh, sikatala brane. Ma asike telehere. The return of the Ark of the Lord. They said, take it. Let's take it. Now, when you go to chapter 7, or the first Samuel chapter 7, it opens with the ark being in the house of Abinadab. So it was taken. Now, it was taken, and then it was taken to Abinadab. That's where I want us to focus on, the house of Abinadab. Can you read verse 1 and 2? Verse 1 and 2, chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. Just read verse 1 and 2 there.
Verse 1. Then the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord.
Yes.
And brought it into the house of Abinadab.
So they brought it into the house of who? Say the house of Abinadab. Can I hear you speaking? Yes. Say the house of Abinadab. Now listen to this. Continue reading.
And consecrated Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord.
And consecrated Eleazar the son to do what? To keep the ark of the Lord. Continue reading.
Verse 2.
Uh-huh.
So it was that the ark remained in Kiriath-Jearim a long time.
Now listen, the ark remained in Abinadab's house for a long time. Say neighbor, long time.
Long time.
Continue reading.
It was there 20 years.
You're not your 20 years. God lived in somebody's house. We know. We know that at this time, God was now back in the altar, in the ark. We know. Yes. There's evidence now that now this ark was no longer that ark that was stolen. Now it was a different ark. You'll see just now why it was. Now, for 20 years, the house of God, the ark of the Lord was where? In the house of Abinadab. Say neighbor, 20 years. But there is something that happens in verse 5 that shows us the attitude of the house of Abinadab. Now, read verse 5.
Verse 5. Uh-huh. And Samuel said,
yes.
Gather all Israel
yes.
to Mizpah.
Yes.
And I will pray to the Lord for you.
Yes.
Verse 6.
Yes.
So they gathered together at Mizpah.
Yes.
Drew water.
Yes.
And poured it out before the Lord.
No. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Verse 1 and 2. You read 5. Okay, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Or 2 Samuel chapter 6. All right. And then you see there David. Hallelujah. Now we fast forward to that. Remember, it was in the ark of Abinadab for 20 years. Are you listening to me? Yes. Now comes David. And David says, let us go and get the ark of the Lord from the house of Abinadab. Right. Hallelujah. You see that in verse 1 and 2. So David is organizing men. Let's go. Let's go. Oh, this was a different ark. Are you listening to me? Now God was in the ark. David must have thought, oh, if this thing was in the hand of the Philistines and all, they didn't whatever. So let's go. Let's just organize men. But listen, in verse 5. Just read through verse 5 and see what happened there.
Verse 5.
And so they took this ark and they put it on the new cart and say, we are now transporting the ark to the city of David. Are you listening to me? We are now doing what? Transporting the ark to the city of David. Now listen to verse 5.
Uh-huh. Then David and all the house of Israel
yes.
played music before
yes.
the Lord
uh-huh.
on all kinds of instruments.
Uh-huh. So now they are celebrating because now the ark is coming. Now they managed to put the ark on the cart. Amen. And then they are taking the ark to a seat. Now David was celebrating, thanking God for the arrival of the ark, the return of the ark to the city. Hallelujah. Now, read.
Verse 6.
Uh-huh.
And when they came to Nakon's threshing floor.
Uh-huh. Now, listen to this. When they came to Nakon's threshing floor, what happened there?
Uzzah put out his hand.
Yes.
To the ark of God.
Now, listen. Uzzah is a son of Abinadab. Now, these are the children who grew up in a house where the ark was kept. Now, look at the behavior of the child. You will see the attitude of the parents. Oh, yeah. Now, listen to me. Stop shouting to your children that they must be what you're not. Our character is shouting more than the shout you can do. Stop that. Your character is shouting, do it! Stop. Did you hear this? Yes. You're busy shouting to your children, stop it! And then your character say, do it! If you do not know what was happening in the house of Abinadab for 20 years, wait until verse 6. You will see the behavior of the child. Now listen to this.
Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God.
He put out his hand to the ark of God. Can you believe? He put out his hand. The thing that God said must be covered and only be carried by the Kohathites. He stick out his hand to stop it. Are you here? Is he listening to me? And what happened?
He took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled.
Yes.
Verse 7.
Yeah, so it was falling. Say, neighbor, what can you do? Hamudima. What can you do when you see God falling? Are you going to stand by? Are you going to watch God falling? Say, ask your neighbor, you know God is in this thing, and you see he's falling. Are you going to leave God to fall on the ground? Ah, you say, neighbor, buaniti, man. Buaniti, buaniti. Please, please, let's leave Uzziah alone and what happened. Tell me, when you see the beautiful ark of the Lord overlaid with gold and is going forth, going down, and you are there, what is your instinct going to tell you to do? Are you not going to go, ooh, before you even think about it? You stop it. Hey, before he thought, when he thought about it, he was dead. There was no thinking anymore. Was dead. But you see, if the children were indoctrinated and taught that the things of God cannot be touched, he would have behaved differently. Even when need arises. You see, you can never go against the commandment of the Lord, even if you think it's necessary. You see, that is the attitude. That is the attitude this house had. And that was taught to children. You know, yeah, you know. We don't touch the things. I'm sure they knew. But you see, in that house, whatever is convenient goes. You see, the word of God is not a suggestion, it's an instruction. Amen. Amen. You don't do it when things are convenient. You know, some of us, we do the word of God when it is convenient. I mean, when you look at this man, it makes a lot of sense to touch it. There are a lot of things that will make a lot of sense that are against God's word. I say there's a lot of things that are going to make sense that are against God's word. Not everything that is logical is godly. Not everything that is logical is godly. Not everything that can be done is permissible. Now listen to this. Now in the next verse, David witnessed all that he has seen. Now, listen to David now.
Verse 8.
Uh-huh.
And David became angry.
Yeah, he was angry.
Because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah.
Oh, yes.
And he called the name of the place Perez, Uzzah, to this day.
Yeah.
Verse 9.
Yes.
David was afraid of the Lord that day.
Yes.
And he said,
yeah,
how can the ark of the Lord come to me? Verse 10. So
say
David,
never, say never, say self-preservation. he say, okay, people of God, listen to me. How can this thing come to my house? You see, people are dying. Oh. So David says, how can this thing come to me? Please, I'm a king, yeah? You want this thing to finish me? You need me. I'm your king. You need me. People, who's going to do this? Who's going to sacrifice and accept this thing, please? I cannot. You need me, people. It's a self-preservation. You need me. Hallelujah. So David said, it cannot come. Now, what is it? Now, listen to this. Listen to this. Are you still here, good people?
Yes.
Are you still here?
Yes.
Oh, you've gone home.
No,
you are here. Okay, let's hear now.
Verse 10.
Uh-huh.
So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him.
Yeah, he refused. Would not. I mean, I can imagine him taking authority as the king. I say, you know I'm a king.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Someone amongst you must accept. And you look at each other and say, hey, people just died, though. Are you here? He said, hey, this thing is not going with me. I could see their subjects looking at each other like, yeah. who's gonna step up for this now? There's a man dead right now in front of you. Like, yeah, there's proof that this thing is hectic. Are you here? Do you love Jesus Christ? So then he said, it would not. It's not going with me. No. Now, let's continue.
But David took it aside.
Yeah.
Into the house of Obed-Edom.
I don't know why David, how it ended up going into Obed-Edom's house. But all you know is that I don't know whether they said you take it by force. I don't know. They said you, the king has spoken. Are you with me? But they said he took it aside. Maybe it was the nearest house to where the incident happened. They said, okay, this house. And it happened to be the poor Obed-Edom's house. Imagine you just people see, you know, when an incident has just happened, you see a lot of people around say, what has happened there? Say, okay, suddenly everybody walks towards your house. because he took it to him. Are you listening? Say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you still in the house of God? Continue reading.
Verse 11.
Uh-huh.
The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom.
The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom. Uh-huh.
For 3 months.
Underline 3 months. Uh-huh.
And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom.
Hey! 3 months!
All his household.
Listen to this. 3 months. 1, 2, 3. There's a mention of a name. There's a mention of a blessing after 3 months. A man who kept it for 20 years, there's only a curse of the son dying. Three months only. Why? Because Obed-Edom was a different man with a different heart and a different attitude. He knew God. He knew he had the right attitude towards God. God is not a favor of people. He's not a favor of man. God is not a favor of man. He does not choose to bless people according to how they look, according to what they have, where they were born, how they were educated. He blesses people according to the attitude of the heart. 3 months was enough for heaven to say, you qualify for a blessing. You qualify for a blessing. Now listen to me. It's not how long you have been in a church. Sometimes it does not even mean changing churches is not a solution. Sometimes you need to change your heart. Because it was the same God in Obed-Edom who was in Abinadab. Same God, different attitudes. Sometimes you have to change your attitude, not the church. There's a place where God is. Where God is. If you know that God is in that place and things are not happening, check your heart. Check your heart. Check your heart. Check your heart. 3 months. God blessed him so much that David, now listen to this. What David? David, what have I done? Because the blessing of God upon Obed-Edom was so obvious. Even the king in his palace received a report and they say, you know that man. that you took the ark into his house. Let's tell you something. Let's tell his life has changed. His life has changed. His children have changed. His business has changed. David is saying, what? 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 They are alive. They are not dead. He said, no, they are not dead. Their lives are better. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, yakasatara. Kele, kele. Say what? That man. He's a talk of town. David said, okay. I know what I've done wrong. Last time we took it, I did not involve the Levites. He said it. He said, I remember now. I did not involve the Kohathites. They said, I remember now. The move of God cannot happen without the Kohathites. You dare try it, somebody will die. Now, bring the Levites. Bring the Kohathites. Let's go get it. Yes, they went into the house of Obed-Edom. Yes. And carried the ark with the Kohathites, Levites. This time, the mission was successful. The mission was successful. Mata keshete de brada. Now listen to me now. There's a return of the ark. Don't be the house of Abinadab. Many people have missed the move of God in the past because they were in the wrong house. You need the house of Obed-Edom. A house where the respect of and the reverence of the word of God is taught. Everybody who comes out of the house is taught to respect and fear God. And that the word of God is not a suggestion, it's an instruction. Saul had the same attitude. Samuel said to him, go there, I'll come after 7 days. And when Saul realized that the enemies were getting stronger and everybody was complaining and they wanted to leave him, underlying, because that's the excuse that he gave. They wanted to leave Saul. Men were hiding in holes, the Bible says. They were hiding in caves, hills. They were hiding. Saul was there saying, I'm waiting for Samuel to come and give sacrifice. And then they say 7 days passed and Samuel did not come. And you know what happened? Saul said, let me slaughter. Oh my God. Let me slaughter. Oh my God. The people who think God's word is a suggestion. To be respected when it's convenient. Listen, the word of God must be revered even when it's not possible. Oh, shakata rabaha. The word of God is not if and when things are possible. Never. We are living in the world where people tend to, you know, whatever is convenient. Whatever must be done, must be done. People are in a survival mode. You know, Saul. Now listen to this. Saul heard David when he said, 7 days, and he kept 7 days, and maybe you must applaud him for 7 days. But the problem with him, 1 minute past 7 days, he was already saying, where is Samuel? Where is the man of God? He started complaining. Many of us, the reason, now, you know the problem, the reason why Saul did not, you know why? Because Saul himself said that when I saw people leaving me, then I sacrificed. He said that. When I saw people leaving me, I sacrificed. Oh, shakatala, brother. You see what? The reason why your 7 days is 8 years, maybe that there is something in your heart that is being tempted. Because when that thing comes, it will surely expose who you are. Okay. Even if there's no more amens, it's fine. Me, I'm preacher, go home. Are you listening to me? His problem was that he depended on people and not on God. Now listen to me. He believed that his kingship rests on the support of people. You see, when God anoints you, he does not need the affirmation of people. It is not the full church that confirms who I am. You see, that's the reason some pastors and men of God are tempted to go do things, because people are leaving them. And then they say, let me sacrifice, because now that sacrifice is no longer, this is yours. God is not in it. Why? It's not to worship God, it's to keep people. That's why he lost them. Samuel said, because you have done this foolish thing, from today know that the kingdom has been removed from you. Why? Because you sacrifice. In fact, if you read that scripture, it says, just after he finished sacrificing, Samuel came. Oh, just after, 5 minutes after disobedience, he appears. Just as the sacrifice is just catching fire, he sees the man of God and says, oh, what have I done? If I could just waited 5 more minutes. You know what? Maybe for this thing to die in you, it just needs another 5 minutes. God is waiting for it to die, for you to overcome this edge. Once you overcome it, in 5 minutes, he will come. Someone say, ah, man of God, I've been waiting a long time. I'm telling you, you're just a little bit over 7 days. Just wait. We're waiting. Heaven is waiting for something to die in you. Yeah, something must die. Okay, heaven thought it would be 7 days, but it is stubborn. Let's make it 5 minutes past seven. It is just gasping. This thing is gasping. We thought by 7 days it would be gone. Heaven said, no, let's wait. It's still going, but it is about to. You don't even see that this thing is gasping. You are disobeying. Oh, come on. You are looking at 7 days. Heaven is looking at something that must be dealt with in you, within you, which required 7 days. 7 days. Can we stand on our feet and just worship God? Let's bless him. Thank you. The ark of the Lord is returning. May you be in the right house. I said, the ark of the Lord is returning. May you be in the right house. May you be in the right house. The ark of the Lord is returning. I say the ark of the Lord is returning. This is a new wave of glory that is coming into the house of God. In which house are you? In which house? What is your attitude towards the word of God? Pray this prayer. Say, I refuse that I'll be 20 years in his presence with nothing to show for. Say, I refuse to be 20 years in the church, yet no one can speak of the blessing of the Lord upon my life. Say, I refuse to be in the house of God, and yet not even one person can identify the blessing of God that is upon my house. Say, I refuse. Say, I refuse. Say, I refuse. Say, I refuse with passion. I reject with passion to be in his presence, and yet all I can see is curses. Say, I'm going into the house of Obed-Edom. Say, Obed-Edom, teach me what you know that Abinadab does not know. What are the secrets? Within 3 months, heaven could not keep anything longer. 3 months. Say, oh Lord, reveal to me the heart of Obed-Edom. Reveal it to me. In 3 months, in this arrival of the ark, this new glory that is coming, I want only 3 months. Prepare my heart, Lord. Prepare my heart. I don't want to be in the wrong house. Don't want to be in the wrong house. Lift up your hands right now. Say, Lord Jesus, here I am, Lord. Expose in me the weaknesses that are delaying my blessings. Say, oh Lord, expose in my heart the weaknesses that are delaying my blessings. I know you don't bless errors. You don't anoint mistakes. I pray, Lord, reveal, Lord, my weaknesses that are a reason for my delays. Expose, Lord. Expose, Lord, the intents of my heart, the motives of my heart. Expose it, Lord. Expose it. in this season of this new arrival. I want 3 months. I want 1, 2, 3, boom. Not 20 years. Not at least because of my heart. No. Lord Jesus, you know my heart. I do not hide anything. Even the things I don't know I have. Even the weakness I don't know I have. You know them. Expose them. Expose them. Expose them. All of them. Expose them. Expose them. Things that only you know, that are just waiting to bite me. Expose them. Say, Lord, the time that you have put aside for this thing to die, let it be so. Let it die, Lord. Let it die. Lord Jesus, just want to thank you. I'm ready. I'm ready. Now let me tell you something. For many years, there would be people in the ministry I look at and there's nothing that pains me like seeing somebody's life that's not progressing. Let me tell you this now. Anybody, any one of you, nothing pains me like that. Especially those who seem to be committed. You see, that's the painful part. They are there in every service. When you call for that, they are there. And you look at them, their lives are not okay. It pains me. But I've learned over years and I realize there is almost always something that is not right in their lives. Even though they may look like. Not that they are bad people. I don't mean that. There's something ever shot down that is not obvious to all for all to see, but that is important to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about when I say I pray that God will reveal it to you. Because many are genuine, they just don't know. Amen. They just don't know what's wrong. Just don't know what's wrong. Amen. I pray that everything will be exposed today. I say I pray that everything will be exposed today. Yeah. That God will visit you and he say, this is the thing. This is it. This is your 7 days. Yeah, this is your 7 days. Hallelujah. Worshipers, please come. Let's just... If you are here, you don't know Jesus Christ, I want to pray with you right now. Lift up your hand right now. Lift up your hand, I want to pray with you. If you say, I want Jesus, that's where your life starts. Lift up your hand now and pray with you. Say, Lord Jesus, I open my heart. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. And my Savior. From today, I commit my life into your hands. You are my Lord and my Savior. You died for me. You are alive today. You came in the flesh. You rose. Today, you are interceding for me. You are seated on the right hand of God. And you are praying for me. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to be reconciled with you. I was lost without you. Now I found you. I found my life. I found my future. I found my destiny. In you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.